on to pass catchers today for the Breakfast with Benz podcast, Draft 101, Tim Benz, Matt Williamson, Matt, former pro and college scout, who you can hear with me on Wednesday nights on ESPN Pittsburgh during the season on Countdown to Kickoff. You can also listen to him on SNR on the Drive with Dale Lally, 4 to 6, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Plus, you can read him at Steelers.com, Peacock and Williamson podcast, lots of different platforms where you can get Matt's insights. And Matt, I'd love to talk to you about the wide receiver crop today. Yeah. We'll start there and then get the tight end conversation going. The receiver thing is intriguing because they sure could use one. I wonder, though, if they – I might have a similar conversation with you to start off here about wide receiver that I brought up at tackle, which is, do they think it's as big of a deal as some of the fans do? Are they as interested in bolstering the wide receiving core as the fans want them to do? Or do they think with Austin getting healthy and maybe Anthony Miller getting healthy, they're going to be okay there?
I don't know. I don't know their thoughts on it. My thoughts are I am excited about Austin. I think Miller is somewhat of a diamond in the rough and was really disenchanted after he got hurt in camp because I thought he was really clearly making the team and was going to make an impact. But I get really greedy with pass catchers. And this will be correlate to tight end and receiver. When you have a young quarterback, I mean, they were so healthy on offense. I think they're fine now at receiver. But if Deontay or Pickens misses a game, all of a sudden you're not, you know, and then Pickens or Pickett is in a bind then. So I would like to add one more prominent pass catcher, whether that's a move tight end, a dominant slot receiver, more so than an outside guy. But the tight end class is, I think, the strongest position in this entire draft. And receivers are the weakest they've been in recent memory in this class.
And I feel like they've all come out the last couple of years. And eventually pond got dry and needs to be restocked. Like,
right.
Quentin Johnson from TCU is the best one, right?
No. Jackson Smith Najigba is my man crush. I adore this player. We talked earlier in the week about those two tackles from Georgia and Ohio State that you run to the podium for at 17. I know this is not a popular take, but if Jackson Smith Najigba is there at 17, I'm sprinting to the podium because I think your offense gets extremely hard to play against, that you don't see the Gentries and Gunners and Sims and Millers. You see Smith Najigba over and over and over. I think this guy is 100 catch a year time and time again, but mostly a slot.
Did you make it out of the first round?
No. I'm praying he makes it to 17. Will they jump on him if he does? I don't know. You did mention Quentin Johnston, though. A big thing he has going for him is he, by far, is the only prototypical size speed guy. And he's a very good prospect. I just don't think he's nearly as refined as Smith Najigba. What's the only thing I can say bad about Smith Najigba is he only played like 40 snaps this year. But he was better than Olave. He was better than Garrett Wilson. And those guys are stars as rookies. Quentin Johnston's the outside the numbers dude, really good after the catch, kind of a Mike Evans type. So I think that he has that going for him, where he's one of the only ones with the prototypical dimensions.
I was going to ask you about that, how you thought he compared to the other Ohio State guys. You answered it. You also said you think, should I use the phrase pure slot? I mean, does he have to be a slot guy or can he play outside the numbers?
He never had to, but if he was at like any other school in the country, he would have, and we would have that answer, which is sort of the Justin Jefferson situation. If Jamar Chase wasn't there, Justin Jefferson would have lined up outside the numbers more, and then he comes to the league and he does it great. Now, Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the league. I think Smith Najigba would be more than fine outside the numbers because his route running is pristine. His change of direction is pristine, but in this situation, I'm more interested in slot guys and leave Deontay and Pickens on the outside anyway.
Where are you in the Jordan Addison debate?
He would be a dynamic, smaller slot that certainly can line up outside. I've referenced this all week that I'm going to put together my Steeler top 17. He'll be in it, but he'll be 14, 15, 16. His tape at USC wasn't as good as it was at Pitt. he's playing with two first-round quarterbacks, but I don't think you can discount the Pickett-Addison combination. He would make the offense harder to play against. You know, I talked about how I get greedy at receiver, and you throw him into the mix, and again, you're not seeing the Gunners and Sims out there that defenses like to see. I mean, you're putting out high-quality skill guys time and time again. So I'd be fine with it. I hope you could do better at 17. I don't think there's any chance he's there at 32.
Zay Flowers out of Boston College is a player I really like. Mm-hmm. It's not popular to say in Pittsburgh because so many people are rooting for the Addison Pickett reunion. By the way, when did Jordan Addison become a babyface again? Everybody was so mad at him when he transferred to USC. Now everybody wants him back again because of what happened with Pickett.
The connection, Pickett,
yeah, those guys were electric together, no doubt. But I like Zay Flowers. I always have. And I mean, if you just put a neutral uniform on the both of them and didn't know about the connection mm-hmm. between Addison and Pickett, I'd go with Zay Flowers.
I'm very close on that too. So I ranked receivers. I had Smith Njigba clearly number one. I had Johnston two. And then I was torn between Flowers and Addison. I went with Addison slightly above him. But I think you can get Flowers at 32, and I don't think you can get Addison at 32. And you probably noticed this. I mean, everyone in the stadium knew Boston College was throwing the ball to Zay Flowers, and it didn't matter. I mean, mm-hmm. clearly the best player on their offense, and people couldn't slow him down. He would be a slot here. He's small, but he's dynamic. He's tough. You know, he can also line up outside the numbers. And a name I want to mention that's similar that I don't have a slight step behind Flowers is North Carolina's Josh Downs. I mean, he's a smaller, pure slot, also very dynamic, shifty, extremely agile, great change of direction. So all those guys would make you much harder to play against, and we'd be Pickett favorites, I think.
Plus, you got Mike Tomlin with his son at Boston College. I'm sure he's seen the very best of Zay Flowers, to be sure. Last thing on these guys, you just sort of alluded to it with Downs. I'm kind of looking at the lineup of wide receivers, the depth of the wide receivers, and I feel like there's a cut beyond the first four or five. And then I'm wondering, isn't there better depth at other positions of need for the Steelers? And do they just wait until like the fourth round for a wide receiver? Like, I mean, I don't know, an A.T. Perry, a Cedric Tillman. They looked at Xavier Hutchinson at Iowa State, and I hear he's an intriguing prospect.
Yeah, Marvin Mims I would throw in that mix. Jalen Reed, Tyler Scott, Michael Wilson from Stanford. But none of them – we all know their excellent and storied history of day two receivers. And I don't know that in the third round or the second round pick – any of those names we mentioned, I would put my stamp of approval in. There's just not 12 guys like usual that'll come in and make impacts. There's five. And I think this receiver class is not a great place to go shopping. So I kind of feel like you go big or go home.
Let's get to tight ends then, Matt. You said love the class.
Oh, yeah.
And this has not been a hot spot the last couple years. Is Michael Mayer from Notre Dame your number one? And is Sam Laporta of Iowa the most likely to be linked to the Steelers as a possibility?
First off, and this sounds insane, I think there might be 10 or 12 true NFL starting tight ends in this class.
Wow.
It's 10. The best. Yes. I mean, 2 years from now, we might be like, wow, 10 guys are starting for out of 32 in the league right now. Jeez. Out of this class. And I always quote, you know, Coach Tomlin on this one. I mean, they're giving you so much red paint at the tight end position. Paint the damn barn red, you know, go get one, you know, and signing Zach Gentry doesn't change my mind at all. I keep referencing being harder to play against. Yeah, I think when Gentry's out there for 50% of the snaps, the defense says, thank you. If Sims or certainly Gunners out there for a high percentage of snaps, the defense says thank you. But Musgrave, Schoonmaker, Washington, Laporta, Kraft, Kincaid, I can go on and on and on. They would make your skill position guys better. And before they signed Gentry, I thought they really had to be in the Darnell Washington, Michael Mayer, inline, big-time blockers, free up Freiermuth, you know, move only. Now with Gentry, though, Dalton Kincaid from Utah State is closer to Jackson Smith Njigba that we talked about than he is Gentry. You know, like there's these move tight ends now. I think you have to, and you know, exit this draft with a tight end, even if it's a fourth round pick that 9 out of 10 drafts go at the end of the second that you get in the fourth, because there's so many of them. You know, a guy you mentioned was Laporta. He could be that guy. I mean, if you get him in the third, most years he's going to be a second. Maybe he even falls to the fourth. Tucker Kraft is another name to know. So
South Dakota State, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so many of these guys. Coombs from Kutztown is the most athletic tight end that ever went to a combine. You know, he was stuck behind Freiermuth at Penn State, so he transferred. So I just think there's all shapes and sizes and tons of them. My favorite, and I do think the top four, Darnell Washington, Musgrave, Kincaid, and Mayer, you could put them in a bag and shake them up in whatever order they came out, I would accept. But Musgrave is my favorite. I think he has Kelsey-like strides, you know, running through the secondary, a really diverse background. I mean, he was a skier. He did all kinds of different things, and he's just been injured. I think he's a potential star, and he's not alone in this class. You got to get one of these guys.
Yeah, and you have to kind of look at Freiermuth's concussion history, too, and be a little concerned there.
Right, right. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I mean, you hate to say it, but what, he's 2 years away from his contract being up, and if he gets injured again, are you going to invest in him? You know, so I think all these guys that I keep bringing up are really worth bringing in, and I think you can get a pretty good discount on them. Because there's so many, though, I wouldn't take one at 17. I would start thinking at 32.
We're going to wrap up tomorrow with the quarterbacks and the running backs. Probably not top of mind for the Steelers, given all the other needs that we talked about. But they're still worth discussing because the Steelers could use depth at both positions, and especially with the quarterback position. As the quarterbacks go, that dictates the rest of the draft for sure. Because they didn't go last year. It dictated the draft and the future for the Steelers. So we'll have that conversation when we come back for Friday's post here at Breakfast the Benz. Our week-long series of podcasts with Matt Williamson, Draft 101, wraps up tomorrow.